Lan Wenji is chosen as the war prize to keep the fearsome Yiling Laozu at bay. Little does anyone know they've just handed him his dream job. Now, he just needs to convince the Yiling Laozu they're destined to be together. The War Prize of Burial Mounds. Written by Pixie Leader. Read by Gem Asteria. Art by Rika. Rating teen and up audiences. Core tags are Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence, Fluff and Humor, War Prize, Fanboy Lan Wenji, and Terrifying but Not Terrifying Yiling Laozu. Lan Wenji tried not to show his excitement when his uncle announced that, for the good of the Lan sect, and indeed all the clans in Jianwu, he was to be given to the Yiling Laozu as a war prize. He, a war prize, to the Yiling Laozu. Oh, happiest of days. This is everything he always wanted. He could barely contain his excitement behind a stoic Lan expression. To be trussed up, perfumed and clad in only the best silks, and handed over to the clutches of the evil Yiling Laozu was the embodiment of his secret dreams. Dreams that were only ever written down in his secret diary, or disclosed in the young Lan disciple's private communication array dedicated to the one and only Yiling Laozu. Menace of the Jianwu, terror of the burial mounds. Ever since his attack at Chongqi Path, he had been a looming figure, ready to strike at any moment until the clans had decided to present him a war prize in the hope that he would not attack. That war prize was Lan Wenji of the Lan sect, second of the Twin Jades. Oh, the other disciples on the group communication array would be so jealous! Imagine, finally being able to meet their idol in person! A fact that he wasted no time in alerting everyone.
Suxia, you won't forget to take over my duties from tomorrow, will you? He said in their communication array. I'm off to meet the Yiling Laozu.
The sounds of fierce screeching reached him as the disciples reacted to the news. Suxia was vocal about his disbelief.
There's no way your family's letting its precious second jade be given to that criminal.
Lan Wenji was quietly smug.
Once again, you prove that you're not qualified to talk about him. You'll see soon.
He tried to appear aloof and mysterious as he hurried to the Jingxi to pack his dowry. Yes, of course he was going to marry the Yiling Laozu. He, Hung Wenjun, would expect no less, not once he got to the burial mounds and near the Yiling Laozu. Once the Yiling Laozu understood that his perfect match resided in Lan Wenji, then it would all fall into place. Of that, he had no doubt. He imagined what his grand entrance to the demon subdued palace in the burial mounds would be like. Obviously, it would be full of odd whispers and wide eyes. He would sweep through the lushly decorated palace like an empress on her way to the throne. And then, the Yiling Laozu would take one look at him in his resplendent robes and fall madly, instantly in love. Wanji liked to imagine that they would have a boy child at first. He'd be the sweetest little radish. Maybe a girl next, but only once their little boy was around 3 or 4 years old. Just like he and his brother Lan Qishan were. That way, the age gap would be optimal for sibling bonding. Together, he and the Yiling Laozu would rule over the Jiangwu benevolently and firmly, with justice and truth. And of course, he would put those nasty rumors to bed. One didn't want to have a spouse who was figuratively drenched in blood all the time. It was much easier to rule a realm when the citizens did not hate the ruler. Oh yes, he had it all planned out. War Prize was just the beginning. Next step was being the love of the Yiling Laozu's life. To say his first impression of the famed burial mounds was a bit of a letdown was an understatement. Here he was, surrounded by Lan elders, dressed in silks and wearing his best silver and jade guan, beechen at his side, only to be confronted by tumbleweeds and a drab gray rock. It was not the terrifying burial mounds that he had imagined. Could they not have at least put up a red ribbon or two to welcome them? Or, if they were still trying to keep the dark image that had spread through the clans, a skull or some bones, at least? Weren't the burial mounds built on a mountain of bones and corpses? Shouldn't bones be in ready supply?
If he wasn't determined to clean up the image of the Yiling Laozu and the burial mounds, he would have demanded a few bones at the entrance. As the host waited at the entrance of the burial mounds, staring at the protection array, Lan Wenji also wondered why they had not been met by a welcoming party. The position of war prize was a lofty one. It was inherently powerful, created specifically so that thousands of lives could be spared. Why was the Yiling Laozu not according it the respect it so deserved? Was it because he simply didn't care? Lan Wenji tried not to fiddle with the sleeves of his robes as a thread of uncertainty trailed down his spine. He wanted to be valued. He wanted to be seen as someone important, as important to one other person. He didn't know what might face him if that was not the case. He gave himself a mental shake. He was a Lan. He was also the war prize. He would grab this opportunity with both hands and live his dreams. The Yiling Laozu would love him. Lan Wenji had just managed to quell his fears when a woman walked out through the protection array, her clothes clean but obviously well-worn. She looked them all up and down with a critical eye. Seeing the red stitching near her collar, Lan Wenji knew this must be Wen Qing, one of the Wen remnants that had been saved from Chongqi Path. "Huh," she said flatly. "They really did take my letter seriously. All right, war prize, come on. You can leave the parade here. I have things to do, so we might as well get this over and done with now." Then she disappeared back through the array, leaving silence in her wake. The elders all looked at each other, then at Lan Wenji, then at the goods they brought up the hill. It took all of a moment for them to decide that discretion was the better part of their valor in the face of the burial mounds. One of them patted him on the shoulder awkwardly before they all disappeared. That was that then, a farewell from one life and the entrance into another. Lan Wenji squared his shoulders. This was his time to shine. He was going to make the Yiling Laozu love him. He walked in the burial mounds, his head held high. He must manifest his dreams. But then, the reality of the situation became clear. Feared and reviled, the burial mounds were known for being built atop a mountain of corpses accumulated over hundreds of years. It was rumored to be covered in gilded skulls and precious gems so tainted with resentful energy that no one could even touch them for fear of being poisoned with madness. This, though? This was far from its rumored glory. Whoever had called it a gaudy display of blood-soaked wealth clearly had strange ideas on what wealth meant. Everything was clean, but there was no gold. No gems, not even a whiff of resentful energy hung in the air of the settlement. The people who walked around were dressed in plain clothing, no silks to be seen. In his grand war prize garb, Lan Wenji felt overdressed. This was the very picture of a settlement just trying to get by. Lan Wenji struggled inwardly. He was never good at change, even worse when something that he truly wanted turned out to be far different from his expectations. He should have known not to trust the clan's claims of the burial mound stealing the wealth of the Jinwu only to decorate their nest more lavishly. Since when had the clan sold the truth on everything? His expectations were further dashed when he walked up to the demon subdued palace. What was supposedly the most horrific display of resentful energy and wealth was simply a rundown old stone temple carved into the side of a mountain. Even the statues at the doorway were crumbling from age. And rather than harmonious music drifting out from its depths, there was a cacophony of swearing, including many words that failed comprehension. Lan Wenji internally thinks,
"My expectations have been shattered. I've been betrayed by vicious rumors. There's no powerful, wealthy Yiling Laozu. There's only peasant Laozu."
Outwardly, he asked,
"Qing Guanyang, is that the Yiling Laozu?"
Wen Qing smirked at him and she waved a hand at the doorway. The gesture seemed a little like a threat. "His esteemed despot is waiting inside," Wen Qing said. "Don't worry, he won't bite. And if he does, I have all kinds of antidotes to whatever disease he's carrying today."
"Disease?"
And then she left, just like that. Lan Wenji looked at her retreating back, then at the doorway to the demon subdued palace. The sounds coming from within had changed to a bit of grunting and low swearing. It sounded like there was a wild animal in there, rather than a fearsome demonic cultivator that had held the Zhongwu at bay with threats for years. If he was not planning on taking over the world and hoarding his wealth, what was he doing? Lan Wangji felt as though his worldview had tipped upside down. He slowly approached the doorway. His silk robes caught on some sticks by the path, the material pulling and fraying. He'd have to do something about his outfit. This incarnation of the burial mounds was no place for silk robes. What he needed was his plain blue robes with the tighter sleeves. These cloud sleeves were no use for the kind of manual labor he was beginning to realize was in his future. The view that met him when he reached the doorway made his orderly landmind revolt. Mess. Chaos. His fingers twitched just to start cleaning. He had no idea what exactly was covering the floor. His mind was already overstimulated by the chaos, but he knew it was a disaster, and very definitely not what anyone would expect for the palace of the Yiling Laozu of legend. There in the middle of the hall, well, cavern really, was a disheveled-looking man, hunched over on the floor like a cave troll. His long dark hair was only barely contained by a red ribbon, and even though they were black, it was very evident that his clothes were covered in splotches of something. Again, Lan Wangji confirmed there was no silks, no jewels, no gold, anywhere. This was the poor man's Yiling Laozu. Lan Wangji felt an inkling of pity for the clans. How had they been so fooled by unsubstantiated rumor? Had they ever been to the burial mounds? Had they ever even seen the Yiling Laozu with their own eyes? If they had all seen this, then Lan Wangji would very definitely not be the war prize. His uncle would have laughed at the demand and tossed away the letter in an instant, and Lan Wangji would still be in the cloud recesses attending to his studies. But somehow, the clans were all terrified of this man. Part of him was awed by the feat. Whatever the Yiling Laozu had done, it had been impressive. To display just how different the Yiling Laozu in front of him was the Yiling Laozu of legend, the man stood in a hurry, made to dash over to the other side of the cavern, but ended up tripping and falling face first into a cluster of talisman papers and pots. The fall was accompanied by the oddest squeak of dismay Lan Wangji had ever heard in his life. He was back up within a second, hustling away. When he skirted a stack of books, his robes caught at them and balancing them. The only thing that saved them was the clearly well-developed reflexes of a cultivator, and the Yiling Laozu propped them back up. As if in apology, he patted the top of the stack before heading on his way again. For some reason, the action of gently patting the stack of books made Lan Wenji's heart soften. This man needed a keeper. He was like a baby bunny that was only just starting to hop around, all mass, but no coordination. Lan Wangji nodded to himself, coming to a decision. War prize? He could be that and the Yiling Laozu's keeper. Both required him to spend long hours with his idol. Though the term idol was looking a bit generous right now. He cleared his throat and waited. It was time to announce his presence. The Yiling Laozu swung about with a surprised grunt, squinting at the doorway. Was he squinting because his eyes were tired? Or the glare of the dim light from the doorway was hitting tired, have not seen actual sunlight in days. Given his pale skin and the dark circles under his eyes, it was probably a mixture of both. Lan Wangji stood straighter. Yes, his role was now cemented. The Yiling Laozu needed someone to look after him, and Lan Wangji was very good at that. He did not need silks, gold, or any kind of wealth, not when he could help someone who clearly needed it. Honestly, the Yiling Laozu was a disaster. Who are you? The Yiling Laozu demanded. Did Wenqing ask you to bring my lotus pods?
The last ones went moldy.
Lan Wangji stepped further into the cavern and set Bishan down on the smallest bit of clear space available. He rolled up his sleeves.
I'm here to bring order to your life, he said.
The Yiling Laozu blinked. Huh? What? The poor thing had probably not had anyone look after him in his life if that was his reaction.
If you can please explain your organizational system, I will commence.
That was probably the best place to start. The Yiling Laozu stared at him. And stared at him. Then, he backed away, slowly. The problem with that was that he only had so much space to move. He hit a work table and all the things toppled down with a crash.
Lan Wenji was desperately needed, and his Lan heart loved to create spaces for things and then to set those things in their place. War prize? No, he was now the housekeeper of burial mounds. Housekeepers were very respectable positions. Hadn't he read a book at one point where a housekeeper married their master? He gently took hold of the Yiling Laozu's arms and guided him out of the demon-subdued palace.
If you can't explain your organizational system, I will create an efficient one for you. Now, if you could stay out here for an hour...
Wait, no. By the look of everything, he would need much longer than an hour.
Make that a few hours. I will order your space and ensure that everything in here will be easily accessible.
He shut the heavy doors in the Yiling Laozu's confused face. The satisfied thud of the doors echoed in him, bringing a slight smile to his face for the first time since he's arrived. Everything felt right. His soul was lighter, and he had purpose. A Lan could ask for nothing more. Lan Wenji set about tidying everything, sorting it into piles of to keep, to ask, and to throw away. The throwaway pile was much larger. Who needed stacks of torn talisman papers and broken pots? They served no discernible use as far as he could see. Someone shouted from outside a few times and banged on the door. It sounded like the Yiling Laozu, but the voice disappeared after a while. Maybe he had gone bored or someone had led him away. If the latter was the case, then that person deserved Lan Wenji's respect. Cleaning was a very important task, and he was very grateful that someone understood that. Hours later, Lan Wenji was covered in dust and other unmentionable debris. His hair was tangled and his guan lopsided, but he could finally see the floor and there was a very impressive organizational system happening on the shelving that surprisingly covered one whole wall of the cavern. His progress made him so happy. In fact, he was so happy that he trotted out of the demon-subdued palace to grab the Yiling Laozu, completely ignoring his fearsome reputation. This person was just an untidy gremlin, certainly not the scary Yiling Laozu of legend. He towed the man back into the palace and set him in the middle of the cavern.
Behold, your new cavern of horrors. What do you think?
Silence. Lan Wenji turned around to find the Yiling Laozu staring at his previously chaotic cavern that had been turned into a haven for quietude and peace with a horrified look on his face. He cleared his throat. Of course. The Yiling Laozu didn't understand the organizational system, so how could he be odd? How silly of him.
My apologies. Let me explain.
Where's my stuff? The Yiling Laozu interrupted.
Let me show you. I've organized it very carefully according to your nefarious needs.
Lan Wenji motioned him to the shelving. But before he could show anything, the Yiling Laozu let out a strange sound before running back out the doorway yelling. Wenqing, get him out! I don't know where he came from, but he has to go! Lan Wenji stood there, confused. Had the Yiling Laozu not demanded a war prize? Someone to keep in his possession to ensure the continued good behavior of the clans, as well as keeping clans from threatening the burial mounds in Yiling? Surely he knew that today was the day of his delivery into the Yiling Laozu's possession. Where else would a stranger come from? Lan Wenji had a growing suspicion all was not right here. When Wenqing came in looking for him with a chagrined look on her face, he knew his suspicions were correct.
Tell me the truth,
he said to her, as politely as he could. She snorted. You might call it hitting two birds with one stone. He wanted to roll his eyes. He knew where this was going, and even though he abhorred interrupting someone, he said,
Get a war prize into the burial mounds, and you keep the clan subdued while taking care of that walking disaster out there.
He waved at the door. Wenqing smirked at him. Smart. But he held up a finger.
How did you know they would send someone like me? Why not someone so worthless that the clans wouldn't care if they died in a siege?
Because your uncle's a man of principles, she told him. He may not like the idea of a war prize being used, but you can't tell me that he would ignore the principles of negotiating for peace. She was correct. Even Lan Qiren himself believed he was the most principled cultivator in the world. It was a standard he held himself to so rigidly that nothing could sway him. Not even a request for negotiations from his enemy could make him ignore those rules he lived by. Lan Wenji was never more grateful for those rules than he was in that moment. He tipped his head at Wenqing.
And you believe that I will remain?
She waved her hand at his dirty, but still obviously Lan white robes.
You're Lan. You're going nowhere. It seemed he was all figured out. It didn't bother him at all. In fact, he respected her intelligence.
So you were the one to send out the requirement for a war prize? Given there's obviously no need for me to act as a war prize, what do you see me doing here?
Wenqing shrugged.
Whatever you want, but you might want to help me bring up those goods from the bottom of the hill.
You might be able to use some of it here. Whatever we can't use can be traded for things we can.
Lan Maji did not see the Yiling Laozu for days after that. The doors of the Demon Subdu Palace had been very firmly shut and locked by the time he and the others had brought up the goods from the bottom of the hill. He sighed upon seeing that. Obviously, the Yiling Laozu was having a tantrum. Not to worry. His situation may have changed, but his plans had not. He was still going to spend the rest of his life looking after the Yiling Laozu. Why? Because someone who had taken in all the Wen's remnants, against the might of all the clans, had to be worthy of love. Worthy of Lan Wenji's love. It may not have been actual love that he felt just yet, but there was something soft in his chest every time he thought of the Yiling Laozu. Actually, you should probably start calling him Wei Wuxian, or Wei Ying, if they were to marry soon. Monikers were for strangers, not spouses.
And he liked the sound of Wei Ying anyway.
In his quest to have Wei Ying fall in love with him, he decided that the best start was to cook a lovely meal for him. He was limited in what he could cook given the supplies available to him, but by making friends with the cooks, he was able to set himself up in one corner of the kitchen and cook a nice meal of rice and vegetables. A hearty meal to fill the belly of the Yiling Laozu after a long day. He knew matchmakers everywhere would be proud. If he could prove that he could care for Wei Ying, then no doubt Wei Ying would fall in love with him soon. The cooks all smiled at him as he set everything on a tray to carry out to Wei Ying when he was done. Through their cheerful persistence, they had discovered that he was intent on courting Wei Ying. Some even gave him tips on how to do it, managing to make his ears turn red. When he told them of the Lan courting gesture of cooking a meal for your sweetheart, they had, as one, melted. Such a sweet boy, they had cooed to him. How could the Yiling Laozu fail to fall for Lan Wenji after such a lovely gesture? After listening to their encouraging banter the whole afternoon, never in his wildest imagination did he expect Wei Ying to reject his offering so blatantly. With chili sauce, no less! The meal was barely set in front of him before Wei Ying quickly grabbed the jar of chili sauce and dumped half the jar in his bowl. The rejection stung. Hard. Ruined. The meal Lan Wenji had worked so hard on was now ruined, and the sheer rejection of his courting gift made him want to shrivel up. Never in the history of the Lan clan had anyone rejected such a gift so thoroughly. He would not cry. Lans didn't cry. War prizes didn't cry. They were powerful. They were strong. And he? He was stronger than all of them, selected specifically for the Yiling Laozu and the only one considered the perfect match. Instead of shrinking away, he stood tall, grabbed the tray in one hand, Wei Ying's desecrated meal in the other, and swept out of the hall where the Wens gathered to take their meals. A tiny, petty part of him was jubilant at the indignant cry that arose from Wei Ying.
You ruined your meal,
Lan Wenji had said as he left.
There are some leftovers in the kitchen that you can eat instead.
There was no way he would allow Wei Ying to eat this. It would surely destroy his stomach, and Wenqing did not have time to deal with whatever damage Wei Ying did to himself. See, even now he was the perfect spouse in protecting his future husband. He set the bowl on the bench in the kitchen and tried to scrape off whatever chili sat on top of the food. That was inedible now. But he could surely eat what remained without dying of heat exposure. He sat there eating the remnants of the meal and plotted his next attempt. Did this mean he was going to give up? No, never. Did it mean he was going to find another way to show his admiration to Wei Ying? Of course. There was surely a way into that man's heart, and he was going to find it.
It seemed that Weighing did not appreciate the way Lan Wenji had saved his stomach, as Weighing actively avoided him for days. Again. Lan Wenji even asked Wen Qing where he was, but she just waved vaguely and said, "Oh, he's around somewhere, doing something." He nodded, although he didn't quite understand how she could be so vague. If he was as well-informed as he knew Wen Qing was about everyone in the settlement, there would be no chance of him missing where Weighing was. So the days pass, and he slowly fit into the settlement's daily activities of sustenance. It was a hard life. Although it was made easier by the goods he brought with him, it was still hard. One of the bright spots in his day was when he found little carved animals on his bed at the end of the day. His favorite was the rabbit. Obviously, one of the uncles was fond of carving and had thought to make Lan Wenji feel more welcome. He was even more delighted when a couple of woven grass butterflies appeared, clearly a child's influence there. It wasn't until days after the meal incident that he and Weighing ended up running into each other, as Lan Wenji was helping Uncle Four, Po Po, and the delightful little boy, Ayuan, harvest some fruit. He was sending Bishan up into the fruit trees to cleanly slice them off the branches into the waiting nets. Ayuan shrieked with delight as he ran around the base of the gnarled trees, picking up the fruit that sometimes fell through the larger gaps in the netting.
"Look, Wenji Gaga, I found another one,"
Ayuan said cheerfully as he trotted over. With a flick of his hand, Lan Wenji brought Bishan soaring back to him and into the sheath. He smiled down at Ayuan.
"A nice ripe peach, well done,"
he said.
"Into the bag, please. Maybe you can have that one for dessert later."
The people of the burial mounds did not have much food to go around, but they never denied Ayuan a second helping of dessert, even if it meant going without. Lan Wenji was in the process of making sure that would no longer be a concern of the Wens. If it worked, they would have a steady source of food for a very long time to come. But he wasn't going to tell anyone until he knew for sure it was going to work.
"Xiang Gaga!"
The squeal from Ayuan startled Lan Wenji as he picked up a fallen peach. He looked up to see Ayuan attached to Weighing's leg, grinning up at him. Weighing looked as though he had not slept in days, making Lan Wenji frown in concern. Unsure of the reception he would get if he started mother-henning Weighing, Lan Wenji instead tossed over a peach. As expected, Weighing caught the fruit out of the air, even as he leveled a surprised look at Lan Wenji.
"You're still here."
Lan Wenji nodded.
"I have things to do."
Things being looking after Weighing's well-being. But he didn't say that. That would scare Weighing off again. He didn't want to risk chasing him away when this was the first time they'd seen each other in days. Weighing rubbed at his nose and took a bite of the peach.
"You know, you can leave if you wanted to."
"Why?"
Lan Wenji asked.
"Please don't say because you want me gone,"
he thought to himself. It would be harder for him to look after Weighing if he was halfway down the mountain. Weighing mumbled something. Tilting his head, Lan Wenji asked,
"I'm sorry, I didn't hear past the half-chewed peach in your mouth."
He didn't say that it was forbidden to speak while eating, since they weren't at the cloud recesses. The foul glance shot his way could have leveled cities. Good thing a determined Lan was an immobile object.
"I said because I don't want a war prize. Stupid old tradition. I told Wen Qing that too."
Weighing shrugged. "So you can leave if you want. I could even, I don't know, ask someone in Yiling to take you in if you don't want to go back to Gusu." Lan Wenji was being told things he absolutely did not want to hear. So he shook his head and started to gather up the fruit from the nets.
"I'm content here for now,"
he said, knowing in his heart that the "for now" part was only for Weighing's benefit. He was going nowhere. Not now. Not ever. As he gathered the fruit and packed it in the waiting baskets, he waited for Weighing to say something else. But he didn't. Instead, he just stood there, watching as Lan Wenji and the others worked together. Maybe he liked Lan Wenji's blue robes. They were some of his favorites, too. A lovely sky blue made of durable fabric and practical cut. Perfect, too, for showcasing his strong physique, honed from years of training. Could Weighing be admiring him? Could Weighing be falling for him, ever so slowly but surely? In case that was true, Lan Wangji put an extra curve in his back as he straightened and stretched. He wasn't that sore, but maybe Wei Ying would get the urge to offer to give him a massage after hours of physical labor?
Lan Wangji, please call me Lan Zhen,
Lan Wangji offered, heart filling with hope. Now was the moment Wei Ying was going to ask.
Lan Zhen? Yes, Wei Ying?
Lan Zhen,
Wei Ying?
Can you please tell me all about my organizational system, please? Lan Wangji blinked, opened his mouth to answer, then shut it, and blinked again. Then he cleared his throat.
Excuse me, could you repeat that?
No way did he say what Lan Wangji thought he said. It wasn't part of the plan. Can you, please, explain the organizational system you implemented in the Demon Subdue Palace, please? Wei Ying repeated. Lan Wangji's heart dropped. That was not part of the plan. Where was the offer to give him a massage? Where was the crooked but suggestive smile? Why was Wei Ying not following the plan? Did he have to outline everything? Maybe he would have to start leaving notes for Wei Ying in the mornings, systematically outlining Lan Wangji's expectations for the day. In fact, Lan Wangji nodded to Wei Ying.
Of course I can show you. This is not a problem. I'm almost done here and can assist now if you'd like.
If he managed to get inside the Demon Subdue Palace once and appear non-threatening, then Wei Ying would be more likely to let him in again. And again. That would surely open up many opportunities for courting his reluctant future husband. And if he left a few notes around the palace indicating proper courting behavior, then that was not a bad thing. Wei Ying may even take some of that on board. Perhaps they would be married before winter arrived. As they walked back to the Demon Subdue Palace carrying the baskets of fruit, Lan Wangji was so lost in his plans for his wedding, he did not see Ah Yuan skip off to the side of the path in time to catch him. But when they heard the little boy's surprised shout, they acted at once. Bishan in hand, Lan Wangji charged in the direction the boy had disappeared, weighing on his heels. When they burst through the bushes, they caught sight of a couple of corpses trying to drag Ah Yuan away. Lan Wangji gritted his teeth. That was his future son. He flicked his wrist and the sword glare from Bishan flew out, slicing ribbons off one of the corpses. It moaned but did not let go. Fueled by the resentful energy of the burial mounds, these corpses were strong. He would need something stronger to get Ah Yuan back. Sheathing Bishan, he pulled out his Guqin Wangji. His fingers flew across the strings, playing the notes taught to him by skilled Lan elders. Powerful and deadly, they reverberated through the resentful energy, weakening it. He played harder, pulling up his spiritual energy in a deadly attack. But it was not enough. Just when he thought he would need to change tactics again, the haunting sounds of a flute sang through the air, joining the notes of his Guqin seamlessly. He looked over at Wei Ying and gaped. Instead of the tired, worn leader of the burial mounds, he was met by the Yiling Laozu, the creature of nightmares. Red eyes burned. Black hair swirled around him like the mist of resentment, his black and red robes caught in an invisible wind. He was dangerous, frightening, the most beautiful man Lan Wangji had ever laid eyes on. The Yiling Laozu nodded to him, snapping him out of his gaze. Lan Wangji nodded back, stealing his spine. Their music melded together, the strong energy shooting towards the corpses in a deadly attack. This time, rather than just weakening them, it blasted through the corpses, obliterating them where they stood. When the waves of energy disappeared, nothing remained of them. Ai Yuan just huddled on the ground, arms over his head. Lan Wangji stowed away his Guqin and ran to the boy, picking him up and holding him close.
Shh, shh, it's all right. You're safe now. I have you.
Beside him, Wei Ying ran a hand over Ah Yuan's head. We got them, Ah Yuan. They won't hurt you anymore, little radish. Ah Yuan looked up at them both, eyes flitting between them. Then, unexpectedly, he grinned. His eyes lit up and he beamed at them.
My Gugu saved me, he shouted. Ai Yuan was in danger, and Wangji Gugu and Xian Gugu saved me.
Lanwangji felt the force of that happiness hit him right in the chest. He hugged Ayuan tighter.
Little Radish, please do not wander off the path again. You know it is dangerous.
But Wanji Gaga and Chang Gaga will always save me.
He wasn't wrong. We won't be there all the time, Ayuan, Weying said sternly. You need to do as Wanji Gaga says and stay safe. Our poor heart couldn't take it if he became corpse food.
Ayuan giggled, but Lanwangji watched Weying carefully. He was talking as if he and Lanwangji were parents of this little boy.
Could it be?
No, he mustn't get ahead of himself. This was a good first step, but he needed to persuade Weying over a long period of time to see him as a husband and a father. On their way back to the settlement, he looked over at Weying to find him staring at him. Weying even smiled at him. It was a grateful smile, but a smile nonetheless. His heart skipped a beat. Oh, to have Weying stare at him like that always. Progress, he thought. It was progress. When they arrived at the Demon Subdued Palace and Wen Qing slipped him a letter from his brother, he knew that he was a significant step closer to that.
To Wei Wuxian, the Yiling Laozu, in anticipation of many happy years ahead, it is my duty and pleasure to announce that Gusu Lansek have declared peace with the burial mounds in Yiling. Your welcoming of the second Jade of Lan has shown that you're indeed of impeccable character, and his letters have further confirmed this. In addition to the declaration of peace, we also offer a full pardon of the Wen remnants from Lanling Jingsek, Yunmong Jiangsek, and Qingyan Niesek. With the backing of the five main clans, you can be assured that no other clan will attempt to harm the Wen. In the hopes of a peaceful accord moving forward, Gusu Lan proposes a mutually beneficial deal. In exchange for necessary produce, Yiling and burial mounds provide specialty night hunting equipment and assistance when necessary. Having dominated the burial mounds for so long, it can be in no doubt that you and your people are unparalleled in night hunting. Gusu Lansek and the other clans look forward to ongoing prosperous relationships. From sect leader Lan Qixin, Gusu Lansek.
Lan Wenji watches Weying read the letter, then read it again and again, his eyes scanning each word closely. He gaped at the paper, as if disbelieving what he was seeing. Then, at long last, he looked up at Lan Wenji.
You did this?
Lan Wenji nodded.
I made some suggestions, yes. We're at peace? As of now, yes.
And the clans are no longer going to keep stealing our stuff? Won't keep trying to break through the protection array? Won't keep harassing the Yiling villagers? He nodded again.
That is correct.
The smile that bloomed on Wang's face was like a sunrise. It chased away the tiredness and made him simply beautiful. Lan Wenji had no other words to describe it. Wang was perfect. Then, completely unexpectedly, Wang leapt forward and crash-landed into Lan Wenji's arms. His laughter rang through the cavern of the Demon Subdued Palace.
We're at peace. The Wen can stop worrying. They can eat. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Lanwangji felt the tips of his ears burning. He wrapped his arms around Weying and sighed at the contact, his heart warm and full.
Weying needed this, so I provided whatever Weying needs.
Weying pulled back and Lanwangji felt bereft.
Wait, but I was so mean to you. I ignored you for days. I told Wen Qing to kick you out.
He covered his face with his hands.
Oh, it was awful. And you were mad and gave me food and took it away again. I mean, I tried to apologize with little carved animals, but that wasn't enough.
Lan Wenji reached up and pulled Weying's hands down.
Weying carved those animals for me?
Weying nodded. I even wove the butterfly. I thought you liked animals.
I thought it was Ayuan or Uncle Four,
Lan Wenji said, his heart almost bursting in his chest.
No, it was me. I felt bad and you were just there doing your best.
Ah, this man.
He tried to gather his thoughts.
Weying was doing what he thought was best when he was harsh at the beginning, he said gently. You didn't know why I was there. You were protecting yourself and the Wen. I understand. But you apologize. I didn't know it at the time, but
but I know it now. No regrets, please.
It was a long moment as Wang stared at him with sad eyes. Eyes that bored into Lan Wenji's very soul.
Does this mean you're leaving me?
The question was asked very quietly. The instant refusal on the tip of Lan Wenji's tongue was bitten back forcefully. This required more tact. He shook his head.
I came here to be a war prize. It was a mistaken understanding, one built on the assumption you demanded my presence. That is in the past. I was the war prize, but then I became Lan Wenji, resident of burial mounds. Then I was your friend. Even when I scolded you for feeding me a sip of alcohol that one time, you were still my friend. Even when you teased me for being a lightweight, you were still my friend.
Lan Wenji swallowed, trying to push away the awkwardness of that morning after, where he desperately hoped he had not done anything too embarrassing.
We have toiled together for the good of the burial mounds. We have sat down together for meals as friends. We've spoken over tea long into the night and learned everything about each other. Then, we became more than friends. Closer. Infinitely closer.
He took a deep breath before asking,
"What do you see me as?"
Wang bit his lip, released it, dragged in a breath.
I once saw you as my soulmate for this lifetime, he whispered at last.
The words punched through to Lan Wenji's heart, sucked the breath right out of him. He stepped closer.
And now?
He whispered back.
Now?
I don't know. You're free. Lan Wenji took the biggest risk of his life and wrapped his arms around Wei Ying.
I'm still your soulmate, as you are mine. Do you know what that means?
Wang shook his head.
Soulmates never part, he said. Wei Ying, you are my soulmate, and I am yours. On and on into eternity. Where one goes, so too does the other. Not only is this decreed by fate, but I also choose this of my own will. I am free, but I can only ever be truly free with you.
A single tear slipped down Wang's cheek. His lips trembled as they curved into a hopeful smile.
I've always wanted you, he said.
I've always wanted to kiss you, to hug you, to be with you. Right from the beginning. There you were, dressed like you were mourning someone, so glorious and beautiful, and you were there for me. I didn't believe I was allowed such a lovely thing, so I ran away. But you stayed, didn't you? You stayed, and I fell even more in love with you. And now, I don't want you to go anywhere without me. Can you promise me that?
I can promise you anything,
Lan Wenji answered.
Anything for Wei Ying. I love you.
I love you too. Finally! They jumped in shock. Wang made to retreat from his arms, but Lan Wenji held on tight. He glared at Wen Qing in the doorway. She glared right back.
Ugh, I've been waiting for you two idiots to get your heads out of the dirt for weeks.
Now, can we agree that your soulmates get you married and then get on with everything? That peace treaty doesn't mean we can stop harvesting or cleaning or building that new barn, you know. We still need to live. Wang gave a slightly damp chuckle. Yes, of course. But can I at least kiss my husband first? Wen Qing waved her hand and turned to leave. Fine, but make it quick. Dinner's going to be ready soon. When she was gone, Lan Wenji turned back to the love of his life.
Any moment is made sweeter with Wei Ying, no matter how short.
Lan Zhan, Wei Ying cried. You'll make me cry. His lips tipped up and he declined to answer. Instead, Lan Wenji kissed Wei Ying. It was everything he hoped for and more. It was perfect.
Thank you for listening to The War Prize of Burial Mounds, written by Pixie Leader, read by Jem Asteria, art by Rika. Be sure to visit my profile to learn more about the authors and artists I collaborate with for every reading. And if you enjoyed this reading, I encourage you to subscribe on AOE, Spotify, or a platform of your choosing.